If you have your Bibles with you, let's go to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. Now I'll be reading from verse 1 through to verse 7. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through verse 7. And it said, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondsmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid has not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels. And thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and leave thou and thy children of the rest. You may be seated. From this passage of scripture, I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, God doesn't need much to show out. God doesn't need much to show out. And if I would give it a subtitle, I would say, You have more than enough. You have more than enough. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you just have your way. As the songwriter said, melodies from heaven. If you would just allow your melody from heaven to fall right now, Lord, and have your way, Lord. Lord, I pray that you be glorified, that you will be praised, you'll be exalted, that we will see you high and lifted up, that we will bow down and give you the glory. I pray that you may open our ears to your word. Because you said, He that have ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So Lord, open our ears. Give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us, that we may take heed. So, Father, have your way, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You have more than enough. Amen. See, we are living in a world where enough never seems to be enough. A world where perception of what we have often seems pale, because we're always comparing what we have to what someone else's have. It is a culture where we look for abundance to believe and show that we have something substantial. A culture where spectacle often dominate the perception of greatness. It's a culture where we equate greatness to big, flashy things. But the idea that God doesn't need much to show out invites us to consider that true greatness and profound impact are not always bound by extravagance. They can emerge from the simplest, most unassuming circumstance. Extravagance is often us trying to show ourselves to us and to others. We strive for extravagance. We strive to have abundance that we may show that we have something, that we may show that we have arrived. So we find that a lot of times the things that we desire is not even for God. It's for our own selfish desires, for our own selfish reasons to show that we have something. And in doing that, we often miss what God is doing, what he's saying. Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. When you think of the mustard seed, it ain't much. But he said, if you have that, you can speak to your mountain, and your mountain will move. So before us today is this passage of scripture. I want to walk through this text and bring out some things that I'm seeing in the text. The text tells us that God closed the curtain of life on one of his prophets. And the result, the creditors have come. The creditors have come to collect what was owed. So it tells us that the consequences of death brought forth a debt that needed to be paid. It let us see that things really got from bad to worse. Here, her husband has died. And before she knew it, her children, the creditors have come to take her children into slavery so they can pay off the debt that was owed. So I see in her pain, she is crying to Elisha. In her pain, she said, you know that your servant, you know that my husband, he fear the Lord. He has reverence for the Lord. He was devout to the Lord. He was obedient to the Lord. And he said, now he is dead and the creditors has come. It's almost like she's saying, after all that my husband was, now that he is dead, why is all this happening to us? He was obedient. He was a servant. He feared God. And now that he is dead, all this chaos, all this turmoil is happening. But God will take away what and who are closest to us to draw us to himself. She moved from being the wife of Elisha's servant to being Elisha's bondmaid. And that signified a change in relationship. It signified that now she becomes humble. Now she's in the position where she's willing now to surrender herself. And so sometimes we find that there are people in our lives that we solely depend on instead of depending upon God. And God have a way of moving them out the way. God have a way of messing with your stuff that you hold so dearly that you can finally see him, that he was your provider, that he was your protector, that it was him all the time. And it wasn't that person. It wasn't your stuff. It was him. So he have a way of moving things and people out the way, that you may see him for who he is. Isaiah said, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, because their dependence was on Uzziah. So God had to take Uzziah out the way so they could see God, that God was the one who was protecting them. God was the one who was providing for them. God was the one who was caring for them. So like Isaiah, she could now testify that in the year my husband died, I became humbled. In the year my husband died, I saw the hand of the Lord at work. In the year my husband died, I saw the Lord as my provider. In the year my husband died, I saw the Lord as the one who was taking care of my debt. In the year my husband died, but her husband had to die. So Elijah asks her, he asks her this question, but he didn't seem to give her a chance to answer the first one. He asks her, what do you want me to do for you? But he didn't wait. He said, tell me, what do you have in your house? It seems to me that he didn't give her the opportunity for her grief to prioritize the wrong thing. Because sometimes we can be so hurt. Sometimes we can be in so much pain that our priority is on the wrong thing. Sometimes all we can see is what we're going through and not the God that is keeping us in spite of what we are going through. So he asked her the question, and he seems like he didn't wait for an answer. He immediately moved on to another question. She said, my husband is dead and my children are in danger. What do you want me to do for you? Perhaps he didn't want, or God didn't want her to ask for the dead to be resurrected. Perhaps God wanted what was dead to stay dead. Because if the very thing that has died, that has brought you to this circumstances, if God ever resurrect what was dead, you'll never get the chance to see God for who he is. Your dependence would remain on the very thing he just resurrected. So some things God wants to stay dead. And sometimes we're asking God for some things that he has already removed and have no intention of bringing back. And we have to learn how to let dead things stay. So she said, I have nothing and something. She said, I have something, but from my point of view, it is not worth mentioning. All I have is this pot of oil. The something may seem like nothing to us, but if we place them in the hands of God, if we ever let God have his way with our little bit, it seems like nothing now. But when God gets his hands on it, when God gets in the equation, when we allow God to have his way, we realize that our nothing is more than enough. You see, the five loaves and the two fishes didn't mean much to the multitude. But when it get in the hand of Jesus, it was more than enough to feed the 5,000 and have left over. So perhaps you're looking at yourself and looking at what you have and saying to yourself, I don't have much. But if you just put it in the hands of God, if we will just trust God with the little bit that we have, we will realize that we have more. than enough. So David, what is it that you have in your hand? It's just a sling. A sling don't mean much to me and you. But when God get in the midst, when God get his hands on David, when the Spirit of God fall on David, and David began to use that sling, it was more than enough to slay a giant. More than enough. Moses, what is it that you have in your hand? It is just a rod that I use when I'm with the sheep. But if you ever let God get a hold of that rod in your hand, that same rod can part a Red Sea. It is more than enough. Samson, tell me what you see is just the jawbone of a donkey. But when God get in the midst and the Spirit fall in Samson, that one dry jawbone was more than enough to kill 1,000 Philistines. So what is it that God has already given you, and you're looking at it that God hasn't given you anything, and God is telling you it is more than enough. If you just let me have my way, you will realize you have more than enough. You see, we underestimate our God and his provision. It don't look big. It don't look flashy. It don't look like something that we will brag on. But God say, I will supply all your needs according to my riches in glory. So it may not look like enough, but it's more than, it is exactly what you need, because he promised to supply all of our needs. So what has he supplied? And you're not thankful to him for the provisions that he has made. Because to us, it doesn't seem like nothing. She said, I don't have nothing. Only thing I have is this little pot of oil that I don't even want to talk about. But it's the very same thing that you view as nothing that God is willing to use. Because God wants, when he do it, he wants you to be assured that it wasn't you. That it was him. He was the one who provided for you. He was the one who did it, not us. The scripture tells us that it happened behind closed door. She closed the door and on everything but her present and her future. You see, a lot of problems we have most time is with our past. That a lot of times won't do us no good. All it keep on bringing is heartache, regret, disappointment. But if we can learn how to close the door and our past, and let bygones be bygones. Paul said, I forget the things that are behind. And now I look, I press forward. What behind is behind. There's nothing I can do to change what's already gone. But the things that are ahead of me, I have now a responsibility to press into what God is calling me to.
I can't turn back the hands of time. I'm not sure, and she was just wishing. But I have to keep my eyes ahead on Christ. He said, pick up your cross and follow me. What gone is gone. Let bygones be bygones. So she closed the door and everything but her present and her future. You see, God will open doors for us if we obey him behind closed doors. You see, behind closed doors is where our priorities are established. Behind closed doors is where true character is developed. Behind closed door is where the things that we believe really show up. When nobody is looking. Behind closed door, it's really showing who you really are. It's not so hard to pretend on Sunday when you're dressed up and looking all good. But what do you look like on Monday? What do you look like on Tuesday? What do you look like on Wednesday? What do you look like on Friday night when nobody is seeing? So our true character is really developed behind closed door. When David showed up and killed Goliath, it wasn't a surprise to David. It was a surprise to everybody else. Because David was already being developed behind closed doors. He was already being developed out of the view of the public. So when Moses showed up with the rod, it wasn't a surprise to Moses that the rod did what the rod did. Because God already showed him and told him what the rod would do behind closed door. So she closed the door on her past. And she shut in her present. She shut in her future, which was her sons and this pot of oil. She closed the door and everything. God won't pour into what is already full. God won't pour into what is already full. He said, get empty vessels that you can pour into. And as long as there was room in the vessels, the oil continued to flow. As long as we are full of ourselves, God can pour into us like he wants to. As long as we are full of pride, God can pour into us as he desires to. As long as we are full of selfishness, God can pour into us as much as he wants to. As long as we are full of jealousy, God can pour into us as much as he wants to. As long as we are full of envy, God can pour into us. So my question is, what are we full of? What are we full of that God has been trying to get out of us, to empty us off, that he may be able to pour into us? But we refuse to let him empty us. We refuse to die to ourselves. We refuse to take up the cross. And we desire in God to do what God wants to do, but we won't do what we are supposed to do, that he can do what he wants to. So God won't pour into what is already full. He won't pour into where there is no room. So there's some stuff in our lives we got to get rid of. There's some stuff in our heart that we have to allow God to get to rid of, because only He can get rid of it. Because the Bible tells us that our heart is deceitfully wicked. That our hearts deceive us every day. So Lord, anything that is in me that is hindering you from pouring into me, Lord, remove it. Lord, anything that is in me that doesn't reflect you, Lord, remove it. Because I want you to pour into me. I want you to pour until you are satisfied. I want you to pour until my cup runneth over. I want you to pour. I want you to keep on pouring that your glory may be seen. I want you to keep on pouring that you can be glorified. But if I am full of me, if I am full of self, it leaves no room for God to pour. In this narrative, I also see the gospel story. You see, there is a debt that is owed, and there is a creditor that is coming. The Bible tells us, for the wages of sin is death. And consequently, there is a debt that need to be paid. But can I tell you that they all represent the Holy Spirit? That they all represent the Spirit of the living God. And only the oil, only the Spirit of the living God can wash us, can cleanse us. When the creditor come, if there is oil found in your lamp, he have no say-so regarding you. Because it said that you already been bought with a price. It already said there was a debt that was already paid for your death. But if you are found without oil in your lamp, you see, Matthew chapter 25 tells us about the 10 virgins. That 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And it tells us that all 10 had a lamp. But only 5 had oil. And the 5 that had oil, the scripture calls them wise. It tells us that at midnight there was a cry. That the bridegroom has come. And it's time to trim your lamp and go out and meet the bridegroom. But the Bible tells us that those that didn't have no oil in their lamp, now they begin to seek oil. But at this point, it was too late. But it tells us that the 5 that were wise, that had oil, that they trimmed their lamp. And they went out and meet the bridegroom. Is there oil in your lamp? Is there oil in your lamp today? If Christ comes back today, will he find you with oil in your lamp? Will he find you like one of the 5 wise virgins? Or will he find you to be one of the 5 foolish virgins that had no oil in their lamp? Because whether you want to or not, the creditors is coming. And the creditors is coming for what's owed to him. And you better make sure that you are washed in the blood of the Lamb. You better make sure you have accepted Christ as your personal Savior. Because on that day, if you are found lacking, on that day, if you are found wanting, he's going to say, depart from me. I know you not. So is there oil in your lamp? Is there oil in your lamp today? If there's no oil in your lamp, if you have done a self-evaluation and found that there's no oil in your lamp, today is the day. The Bible says right now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is not promised to you. 2 o'clock today is not promised to you. The next minute from now is not promised to you. Is there oil in your lamp? Because if there's no oil, you really don't have nothing. If there's no oil, the creditors is going to do what the creditor desires to do. Is there oil in your lamp? What has God blessed you with? What has God gifted you with that you view it as nothing? And God is just waiting on you to put your trust in him, that he can show you what it is that you really got on the inside. But because of the way we're viewing it, because of the way we're looking at it, we're missing out. We don't find ourselves operating in our gifts, serving God the way we're supposed to, because we are comparing our gifts and our talents to somebody else. And they are letting God maximize theirs, because theirs was just as small as yours. But they stepped out on faith and trust God to do what only God can do. God doesn't need much to show out. And you have more than enough. Just trust him with what he has given you, that he can do what he desires to do. God bless you.
Wow.